When I talk about a journey of seeking, a journey of exploration, one part of it is stepping outside of your usual circles, which is relating with people, and often these are strangers.
Yep.
And then another part of it is learning from them. And the third part is doing, making something happen that is in line with the direction that you want to explore. Mm-hmm. Once you really go through this three-step path, you will find that looking back, you're no longer the same person.
Welcome to Every Moment is a Choice. I'm your host, Erica Behel. I invite you to join me as we delve into the lives of inspiring and diverse individuals who navigate life with intention. Living with purpose starts with embracing the power you have in every moment. If you enjoy this episode, don't forget to subscribe.
I am honored to have Jinshan on the podcast today. Jinshan's personal search for fulfillment and his burning curiosity about individuals who had chosen unconventional life paths has created an entire community of seekers. Starting in 2021, at the height of COVID restrictions on gatherings in Singapore, Jinshan started holding online gatherings. He called it Stranger Conversations. And since then, the community has evolved with events ranging from forest walks, intergenerational dinner discussions, idea jams, and art events, all of them attracting perfect strangers to share their journeys. I'm so glad to have you here today. So welcome.
Thank you, Erica. I'm glad to be here too.
Thank you. So tell us about the origin of Stranger Conversations. What were you doing at the time? And what were you seeking in your own life?
So that was back in 2021. Mm-hmm. I was working full-time then. The genesis, I guess, of this idea can best be understood by looking at the arc of my own career and my journey. So that's one way of talking about it.
Yeah.
So let me do this long story first before I talk about the shorter story. I've been in many different industries and in different places. So I worked in the Bay Area, like back then when Yahoo was a thing. Mm-hmm. I've worked in government, in consulting, in finance, for nonprofit, in education, and finally in tech.
Wow.
And I guess I was always looking for something. Mm-hmm. I was always seeking, regardless of whether the organization was a big one or a small one, a traditional one or an innovative one. Mm-hmm. I was always looking for a place where I could do good work. Mm-hmm. And by that, you know, I mean really solving problems at the root, making sure that the solutions make sense. I mean, in a simpler way, you can say that the through line through my whole career has been innovation. Mm-hmm. But I've called myself by different titles: design strategist, director of product, head of user research. And in many ways, like, these are just titles for me to sort of fit in into the organizational chart.
Yeah.
But I was always pretty single-minded about bringing something to life that made sense, added value, and in ways that had not been done before. I was pretty much at the end of my journey of seeking within an organization at that point in time.
Mm.
And I was like, maybe I could try to do something that I haven't tried to do before, which is to build a community of my own and see what the results would be, right? Because I had, used all of my skills to innovate for organizations. And I thought, what if I could use these same skills to also help people? So that's kind of like the big, big reason.
Yeah.
But the smaller reason or the shorter reason, a couple of those. One is I didn't have the guts to do it.
Mm.
So I thought maybe I could find other people who had gone on a path like this before.
Yeah.
Doing something a bit unconventional. And maybe I could learn something from them.
Mm.
And the thing was, you have these sorts of regular conversations with your colleagues or your friends, people tend to like talk about their jobs and maybe they're not super happy with them. But after that, it's just a bit of like, you know, therapy in the moment and they go back to whatever they've been doing.
Mm.
So I couldn't find anyone within my circles who was intrigued, who was truly supportive of what I was about to do. And so I literally had to go look for strangers. Like, were there people like this out there, right? And if I hadn't found anyone, then maybe I would just have gone right back to a more conventional path. Another way of talking about how I started this was, it was COVID, right?
Yeah.
After having like what was pretty much the same conversation, it got me thinking, right? Like, how come all of these conversations that we have with the people who are close to us or people who are in our lives, right? Whether it's colleagues or friends or family, they tend to revolve around the same things. They tend to be rather circular. It's the same topics over and over again.
Mm.
And it's starting to feel a lot like an echo chamber. And so I was like, you know what? How can I get out of this, right? And I guess COVID just sort of made it even worse because it was just that much harder to simply explore and get out there. So yeah, I guess three reasons. How does that sound, Erica?
That sounds good. I mean, it sounds like a lot, right? Mm. But I can see how all of these things have shaped what I now know, because I do know a little bit about Stranger Conversations and I have attended some of the events, how this originated in something that you were looking for as well. I mean, you have created quite a community, but tell me, like, what was the very first event that you held? What did you do? Was it a Zoom call?
It was on this social network called Clubhouse.
Mm.
The thing about Clubhouse, it's a little bit like radio, mm-hmm. where it's audio only, but people can sort of interact with whatever program is going on.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a bit like, I guess, radio for the internet, right?
Yep.
Yeah. I think it was a startup founder mm-hmm. that I interviewed, but the reason why I went with him, well, how did I get to know him? It was probably through a connection that I made just networking.
Mm-hmm.
And this person said, hey, you know what? I think you should talk to this guy.
Yeah.
Because at that point, every person I spoke to, I tried to sell this idea of Stranger Conversations.
Sure.
In the hope that someone would bite, someone would say, this is a good idea.
Mm-hmm.
You know, either, as this person did, recommend a guest to come on or be part of my sort of initial audience.
Yeah. And how many people showed up to this first event?
I would say it was under 10 people mm-hmm. because I brought some of my connections
mm-hmm.
and he brought some of his connections as well.
Yep.
And a couple of folks did drop by. You know, thanks to the way that Clubhouse is set up.
Yeah.
I recall the guest was saying, when he started his journey creating this startup, an ed tech startup, and even today, you know, which at that point I was talking to him, he still had this bunch of post-its, you know, just all like stuck in front of him, you know, and every post-it would have some sort of like motivational message.
Right.
You know, it told me, and this is a theme that would be repeated over and over again, how this journey off the beaten path is something that is so full of self-doubt, full of anxiety, loneliness, I guess. You know, no matter where you are on this journey, whether you have just started, whether you're sort of a few months, a year or two in, even if you have some measure of success on the outside, it's still a roller coaster of a ride. You know, some days you're going to feel like you nailed it. And other days you're going to feel like, why did I start this?
Yeah.
I was quite surprised at how open he shared all of his challenges and his difficulties. And I was surprised how well it went. Right? I mean, nothing major sort of like went wrong. It just gave me the confidence, just in that little moment.
Yeah.
A little bit of confidence to move on to the next event and then the event after that. Yeah. But, you know, reassurance, I found, is a bit like petrol in the tank. You know, you kind of always need to top it up.
Yeah. I'm not surprised about the motivational quotes, because I think a lot of us who are trying to do this unconventional path, I totally agree. We need constant reinforcement, and usually it's not going to come from anyone else. We need to find it ourselves. I listen to podcasts. I listen to motivational podcasts. I don't have sticky notes yet, though. So how did, you said it, you know, you felt reassured that the event went well. You had a guest who was very willing to be vulnerable and be open about his experiences. How did the audience respond?
Oh, they had plenty of questions. You know, I can't remember exactly what those questions were. What I do remember is how pressing those questions were, if that's the right word. Like, it felt like the people who were asking these questions came from a place of need, came from a place of like, oh, I really do want to know, right? How did you overcome this part? You know, how did you gather yourself as the world was falling apart around you? You know, and it seemed like it wasn't just out of politeness or intellectual curiosity. They were looking for some sort of answer that would mean something to them in that moment in time.
But people were deeply interested in what he had to say.
I think so, yes.
So then you started organizing more events along the way.
Yes.
I mean, did it just take off from the beginning kind of soon after that, or did you kind of have to find your footing with types of events?
So the attendance was around like 5 to 10 folks, you know, at the beginning. And I remember how like anxious I was that, oh, no, what if no one shows up, you know, and then like, I'm going to like let, you know, I would have let the guests down, you know, I would have let ourselves down, right? That was quite a big source of anxiety for the first few events. I told myself that if it doesn't go well, then yeah, let's just call it a day.
Yeah.
You know, let's just move on, right? And do something else. But there was feedback, you know, from the people who participated, which was a source of reassurance that people wanted to see more. So I'll give you two examples. One was we recorded some of these calls and we put them on YouTube. Mm-hmm. I guess we had like, I don't know, what, 10 subscribers or 12 subscribers at that time. We're like, okay, this ain't working, you know what I'm saying? Mm. When we were late in posting some of the stuff on YouTube, some of our episodes, people asked about them, hey, where is it? You know, even if it was just a couple of folks.
Yeah.
We realized that, oh, people were actually listening in.
Okay.
Because Clubhouse is an audio-only platform, people said, you know what, we want to see faces.
Mm.
That encouraged us to move from Clubhouse to Zoom. But I should be a bit more precise. You know, we tried doing both Clubhouse and Zoom for a while.
Okay.
Which was a big mess.
Yeah.
But eventually, yeah, we just decided on just Zoom. In one of the episodes or one of these fireside chats that we had, there was someone who dialed in from Paris. Who called in from Paris. I think she's Singaporean, if I remember correctly, but she was vacationing in Paris. Mm-hmm. And so she made the time on her vacation, on her trip. She figured out the whole time zone thing to actually call in and listen in.
Nice.
Yeah. So I was like, oh, I guess there is something here. You never really know what's going to show up on this road.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But if you don't keep walking, you won't encounter these little surprises.
Yeah.
That's been like a big, big learning, which is if you don't walk, nothing will happen.
Yeah.
But if you walk, it seems like stuff just happens magically.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like
good or bad.
Good,
right?
Or bad. Yeah. Mostly good, you mm-hmm. know what I'm saying?
Mm.
Like, there hasn't been a catastrophe so far.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, the good stuff just gets magnetically attracted to you.
Mm.
I've told people that I don't see coincidences as coincidences anymore because mm-hmm. they, like, keep happening all the time.
Yeah.
You know? It's like I meet someone at an event, like a pure stranger, and then a few days later, I bump into that same person at a coffee shop.
Mm-hmm.
And that's like the first time he's ever been to that same coffee shop. And I'm like, wow.
Yep.
This doesn't happen to me, or this has never happened to me before I started doing this.
Yeah.
Right. The more you try or the more you do, the luckier you get. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, definitely they say that you can increase your surface area for luck,
yeah,
just by being willing to put yourself in situations and with people that you wouldn't otherwise encounter. And then things start happening like that. But yeah. I have to think, though, that your intention behind it has something to do with the magnetism of attracting this type of person, because if you are out here just trying to become an influencer, gain lots of followers, and you blow up on YouTube so you could monetize it, I have a feeling those kind of synchronicity or serendipity occurrences wouldn't be happening as much as they are, maybe. Mm. I think there's kind of an intentional thing or an energy maybe you're putting out.
I'm constantly surprised. Or maybe not anymore. If it's always a surprise, is it still a surprise, right? I think you can still enjoy that moment, those moments. Everyone who comes for an event always has something fascinating about them.
Mm.
So like, you know, what is a stranger conversation, right? I think there are various characteristics of it, you know. One of them is you feel comfortable diving deep into a topic or any sort of conversation you want without too much structure, too many sort of guidelines, you know, or rules. That's one. Another one is people always think that their story is normal, their story is ordinary, but when they share it, they are surprised at how interested the other party is in whatever they have to say. It could be some hobby or some interest that they felt a little bit shy about, and in other settings they've not quite gotten that same sort of enthusiastic curiosity in response. I never thought that our society was this curious and this interesting. But somehow, either we have like put out the bat signal, right? And all the self-selected people are here, or we are creating a certain sort of environment that gives people permission to be this way, right? At least in this local culture, when someone takes the initiative to connect with you, to talk to you, maybe it's even your old classmate from like decades ago, the first instinct is like, is she going to sell me insurance? You know? Right?
Yeah.
And I think that's a bit of, I mean, it's a bit tongue-in-cheek, but, you know, it could be one of the reasons why we just don't have this broad culture of speaking to people whom we don't know. I don't have to explain too much. You know, I say that, okay, you know, we're going to have an open house, or we're going to have a talk or a fireside chat about sustainability or conservation or stuff like that. And people just naturally take the time after the event to just like hang around and connect with each other, which is so different from many other events where like, okay, I'm here to sort of get what it says on the label, on the tin.
Yeah.
Right? And then I go off, you know, like no time.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And that was actually one of the moments, right, I can relate to you, that I saw that this could really become a community. So this could become, so it's more than just an events platform, I think, more than just a social networking space. So I remember we had this like a picnic sort of, you know, in the evening, where we're just having a fireside chat as usual. So this was after COVID, right? So we could actually meet in person.
Yep.
That was on the Empress Lawn in front of the Victoria Concert Hall. Very gorgeous place. You know, you've got like the lights of the skyscrapers, you know, all around. You got Sir Stamford Raffles, like, you know, looking over you. The event started at about 7. You know, the fireside chat was done by 8:30. People stayed literally till like almost the last bus home, right, until 11. And we knew what's 11 because, you know, the clock tower goes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That was like, oh. And people were staying back, you know, in a way that fascinated me, you know, from one big circle, which was the format of the fireside chat. It just organically, you know, sort of morphed into smaller circles, you know, like 5 or 6 circles with, you know, a few people each. And then people just sort of circulated amongst these circles as if they were in a very sort of a large, but sort of very casual and comfortable, like living room, right? You know, like how like Asians just like to sit on the floor and...
Yeah.
And I realized in that moment, a couple other moments as well, that you didn't really need to have a star of the show. Everyone could be the star of the show.
Wow.
Yeah. So I thought, okay, there's something here, right? So how can we get people to meet each other over and over again? And in so doing, become truly a community.
Wow. So that's so interesting to me because, I mean, I've been in Singapore for over a decade now, and I see what you're saying without facilitation. Yeah. It's sometimes difficult to get people to actually talk to one another. Hmm. If they're attending some type of event, like you said, they come, they show up, they see the show, whatever, then they go back home in their own kind of groupings. But it seems like people are hungry, perhaps, for... Like you said at the beginning, building some new relationships with people who are like-minded, and therefore they're sitting around talking, and so you're saying that's the point when you, or one of the points where you kind of felt like this has legs, or this can kind of, this has momentum, maybe for the community overall. So did you have, I mean, you're saying it almost sounds like it just evolved kind of without any hitches or anything. Did you have any events or any missteps that you felt like, oh, maybe that one didn't really resonate?
It's surprising how the missteps, if any, felt inconsequential. So even if a guest for a fireside chat, like the main guest, didn't seem prepared or didn't seem like really good at telling stories, it was okay because the audience, so to speak, the participants filled in the gap, right? In the questions that the participants were asking, they signaled, you know, who they were and what they were interested in. And that led to still a great mingling after the event where everyone was, as I mentioned, the star of the show. There is, of course, effort that goes on in the background where, like, okay, if there aren't that many people who have signed up for this event, then what's going on here, right? Like, is the messaging connecting with people, right? Are we being clear enough? Have we done enough blasts, right, on social media or whatever? Through a bit of, what's that term, elbow grease? You know, we make it more of a party. But it's really hard. I mean, it's surprising, right? So that's why, you know, when you said, oh, you attract, I mean, when you sort of move on this journey, you know, like the good and the bad happens to you. It's almost like there hasn't been anything that I could really say that, oh, this was such a disaster. This was such a catastrophe. We really, really messed up. Like, oh, we forgot to show up on the day. You know, that sort of thing. No, that's never quite happened. I felt like giving up many, many times, you know, but not sure how serious I was.
What was behind that?
It's just little things that sometimes get to you. Sometimes it's like, oh, in running a thing like this, you know, it's very much a volunteer driven, and volunteers come and go. It's a bit of a revolving door. When volunteers go, then I'm like, oh, was it because of me? Was it because this concept doesn't work well? It just sort of like multiplies the loneliness factor. When I fall behind on like getting stuff done, you know what? It's less than a week to the event and you haven't put anything out there. It's still in your head. What's going on? Am I cut out for this? And then I rush, right? It's 2 a.m. in the morning, trying to get it out. And I'm like, why am I doing this again?
Hello, this is Erica. As a listener to this podcast, you'll know I love deep conversations. So I wanted to share something special with you something that's been a game changer for me. It's called scenario cards. Now, these aren't just any cards. Each card is a what-if question to help you explore your values, your life, and your choices. I have been through burnout and a massive personal transformation over the last couple of years, and I've used these cards as journal prompts. They've helped me dive so much deeper into understanding myself and finding my compass. I've also used them to spark some of the most thought-provoking discussions I've had with our guests. So I'm thrilled to share that Scenario Cards has partnered with us to offer you an exclusive discount. By using our custom link, you not only get the amazing cards, but you also support our podcast with your purchase. It's a win-win. So why not give it a try? Go to scenariocards.org/Erica. That's E-R-I-K-A. And use the code ERICA10 at checkout to get an extra discount on any of their products. You'll also find all of this information in the episode notes. So go ahead, dig a little deeper, because your purpose is waiting to be discovered.
I mean, do you have like a concept? Because I know you've had so many different collaborators with whether they kind of co-host an event or offer a space or offer a talent that they want to share with the group or something like that. Yeah. How do you identify and link up with those collaborators?
For the most part, in the last few months, it's been about casting my net wide, about bringing in a diversity of people, a diversity of events. There is this curiosity in me. Like, I want to see how universal this is. How universal this spirit of seeking is. And it's something I've discovered over my career, right? Like, I've worked in government and nonprofit. So are the seekers there? Question mark. I've worked in tech. Are the seekers there? Right? I've gone to design, right? Design school. Are the seekers there? I realized that the seekers are not anywhere, but they are everywhere. So it is really like seeking is a human need that is widely distributed and it's not concentrated in any sort of place. So you could meet artists who are not seekers, for example. You would think that because of the profession, you know, they would be predisposed as such.
And that makes it seem like it's really difficult to, because people are going to have kind of find you.
Yes.
And so you have to be out there. Like, how hard is that?
It was pretty hard at the start.
Yeah.
Because I just didn't know where to go. But as always, word of mouth is super helpful. Volunteers who come on board, then they offer to connect, you know, the community, to connect me with some of the people they know.
Yeah.
And after every event, I ask the guests, right? Like, who else do you know, you know, that you can connect me with? I'm looking for a spirit here, you know, a spirit of like, I'm doing this. You know, it may make money, but it's not the main thing, right? There is some sort of exploration. There's some sort of diving into the unknown that I want, right? And that's why I'm doing this. I was actually looking through the members in our community. So we've got a Telegram group, you know, on top of the IG, the Instagram account that we have. And I was just looking at the Telegram group and I'm like, whoa. In a way, we have become a community of communities. There are a lot of community founders who are members of this group, right? Communities around local music. Communities around art, around education, around conservation, you know, around intentional travel. you know, the founders are all here. Makes me realize that, oh, actually in the last 6 months, in the last year, we've really done a lot of outreach and we've connected with a lot of different people.
Is there like a certain, you said you're looking for a spirit, but is there a certain profile that you find these people are gravitating to us? That can be demographically. Is it like Gen Z? Is it older people? Like, what is the makeup?
I guess the makeup, I would say 25-ish to 40. That's pretty much where the center of gravity for this community is. Mm. Though we have folks who are in, you know, the 40s or 50s or 60s even. You know, like maybe it is a sign of the times. I'm constantly like amazed at how like younger and younger folks are quite aware that the world is a big place, mm-hmm. that there are a lot of possibilities, mm-hmm. and you can pursue something that makes sense at a very deep level for you. For example, creating a community to support local music, right? And original music, for example. And you don't have to worry so much that it's somehow taking away, you know, from your career or from that sort of monetary aspirations. Mm-hmm. And I recall when I was young, you know, like all of this stuff, like didn't even register, you know, and I'm sure for my classmates, you know, my contemporaries, my peers, right? Like all this stuff, but by this stuff, I mean, you know, pursuing things that you find personally meaningful, even if it doesn't seem to add to your career or anything like that, add to your sense of progression. Mm-hmm. It just didn't register. Like, that was something to do, like, after you retire, you know? And in just, like, a couple of decades, you know, like, wow. Everyone seems to be so, like, sensitized to this.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, to the fact that, oh, life can be full of life.
Mm.
Yeah.
Do you think that's because people are, like, there's more platforms for people to share their talents, or if they want to, you know, become an Instagram, you know, person, people who knit are, you know, have thousands of followers on Instagram because they're sharing their creation somewhere.
Yeah.
Or is it that people are just rejecting the idea that my life should be all about work at this stage of my life? Mm. Which one do you think it is?
I think it's a bit of both. Mm. You know, they both feed into each other, I guess. Thanks to social media. So even as we talk about how it can have a negative effect on our mental states, emotional states, it's really democratized voices. And it's really shown how every person can have an audience, you know, as long as they bring their true self. I think organizations or corporations, which are typically the largest employers, right?
Mm-hmm.
are kind of facing a bit of a crisis of the imagination. So I think there are a lot of jobs out there that I guess need to be done. If we applied a bit more imagination to the sort of things that we could do to create value, we could really have a lot more interesting jobs. Jobs that people like would really want to like devote themselves to.
Mm.
I'm seeing that these sorts of interesting jobs, jobs that people want to devote themselves to, are not as easily found in these sorts of organizations, but they are found as a result of your own creativity. And what I mean is you design a life intentionally that works for you. So instead of having like a set menu, right, at the restaurant, you know, like you have to like have this and this, you know, and that's kind of like a typical job, right? Like, you know, you have to be at work, you know, here's your job scope, you know, for like, you know, Mondays to Fridays, you know, you have to be in the office, you know. What if your intentional life living and lifestyle were like, oh, on Monday you did something, on Tuesday you did something different, you know, on Wednesday to Friday it was something else.
Yeah.
You know, maybe some of what you're doing gives you meaning and joy, but not much pay. Some gives you a bit of pay. Another bit of it, you're like building something that you think is worth building and you're holding off on the payoff for the moment, right? So that becomes your job, right?
Yeah.
So to speak, actually the word job starts to lose its meaning. That becomes your life, right? And no one can sort of give that set menu to you. You really have to build this a la carte.
Yeah.
Right. And I think that's what people are seeing more and more. As I mentioned earlier, it is a scary path. It's a lonely path. It's a path full of self-doubt. So even if you see it, you still have to do the hard work of fitting it together and going on this journey.
Yeah.
Right. And it's not like you go down to like FairPrice and you just take some stuff off the shelf, you know. It's almost like you wouldn't know what to choose until you have taken the first step and the second step of changing yourself first.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's definitely a process. And I mean, it's overall a philosophy that I very much like exploring personally and on this podcast, because the guests who I've had on the show, you know, whether it's a creative career or a kind of an entrepreneurial one, almost all of them have gone through a phase where they rejected what they learned growing up, or they had to unlearn what they thought about what the right kind of career was going to be for them. And then they decided they had to find their own compass and kind of say, this is how I see my life going forward. And maybe this does mean a lot to me, so I'm going to devote 80% of my time to it. Or maybe my family's more important. Maybe I have someone who's ill. And so it's like it's a very intentional type of life creation that I'm interested in, and something that I only kind of learned at midlife. Like I think I went through all this when I was like 45 or something. And so to hear that now 25-year-olds are kind of thinking in the same way, it's very fascinating to me, because it feels like when I was 25, I was happy to just, you know, have a good job. I thought success looked a certain way, which is much different to how I see success today. And so I'm just curious, like, what do people find at these events? Like, I've been questioning things, and you know what? There are a bunch of people out here who are doing the same thing. And maybe that's some of the attraction to finding others.
It's about possibilities. I like to describe, right, like our community space as one where we're sort of creating more than just a crack, right? We're sort of prizing open a very optimistic sort of space, you know, in the midst of all of this societal and conventional narratives of what you should be doing with your life, what you should achieve by when, and, you know, what success looks like, right? And this space is held open by the people who are here. So there are many ways of doing things, right? So nothing wrong with having a conventional job, but we've got For example, someone who is an accountant, but is also an artist. So she's done solo shows before, right? Mm-hmm. And you can talk to her about how she made that happen. And don't just talk to her, she hosted a workshop for us on vision boarding. So creating your own sort of vision, putting what is subconscious in your mind out onto paper where you can look at it, right, every day. Yeah. And that kind of helps you, right, get to where you might want to go, right? And you have folks who are just interested in things that you never thought other people would be as interested in. Mm-hmm. So it could even be like crochet, and someone in the community wants to run a event, experimental event, for the first time in her life, right? Crochet your emotions is what she's going to call it, right? So it's a mixture of mindfulness and crochet, mm-hmm. right? And she doesn't know anyone else in her existing circles who would want to do that.
Yeah.
But in Stranger Conversations, it's not difficult to find like-minded folks, right? And so when I talk about a journey of seeking, a journey of exploration, it's not just about sightseeing and mm-hmm. going on a tour of places and coming back, right? One part of it is stepping outside of your usual circles, which is relating with people, and often these are strangers.
Yep.
And then another part of it is learning from them. And the third part is doing, making something happen that is in line with the direction that you want to explore, that is in line with some aspect of your curiosity.
Yeah.
Right? And you can see how these sort of nest, within doing, there is learning, mm-hmm. and within learning, there is relating as well. Right? And once you really go through this three-step path, mm-hmm. you will find that looking back, you're no longer the same person, right? You're not just a tourist anymore, right? So beyond getting people to meet each other, which is just the first step, and that's very similar to other social communities, we want to create this safe haven, this sandbox for people to try doing something for the first time. It can't just be a dry run for your business, but it's something that you really want to explore, and you can bring people along with you. And in putting something of some part of yourself out there, people get to know you at a deep level, right? Beyond, a chat, which is important, which is kind of the base of it. But so, I guess that's... Can you call it a worldview? Or can you call it it's like a statement of purpose? Mm-hmm. It's like our formula, I guess, for how exploration should happen.
That's a great one. I mean, it sounds like the evolution of Stranger Conversations from just a let's have an interesting conversation and see who turns up, into a, like you said, a safe haven for people to try something for the first time. And usually something they learned from someone else within the community who may be a perfect stranger to them. That's a beautiful, an absolutely beautiful one, because it's not just about curiosity, it's about growth as well.
Yeah.
That is very beautiful. And this has changed you as well, because... Mm-hmm. I remember you said when you first started, you had your full-time job and you were kind of doing this on the side. But how is your career evolved right now?
I guess this is my work now. Community building is new to me, actually. I'm never the person to organize you know, class get-togethers, or even amongst my like family members, you know, and if there is like a WhatsApp group, like, you know, for, I don't know, like when to meet for like Chinese New Year, right? Celebrations, or whose place to meet this year. I'm like the last person to like volunteer anything or to respond. So I don't know what I'm doing, which is a good and which can be a good thing because I don't know how I'm supposed to be doing it. So I just like,
yeah,
I just do what seems to make sense. I just do what seems to be needed. And I'm still trying to wrap my head around this. Maybe my body knows, but my head is still trying to like wrap itself around this idea that community building can be a career. Is what I'm going for, right? Like I talk about relate, learn, and do. Like, is this some sort of an incubator, accelerator thing? Is this some sort of school, you know? This some sort of like a studio of creatives that I'm bringing together, but, you know, not creatives in the very sort of strict, you know, conventional sense? Am I building all of that?
Yeah.
I guess I am. You know, notice this idea of a third place.
Yes.
What if we could reimagine a third place that is like more relevant for our times? It's a place to be, a place to go silent if you want, a place to relate, to be inspired truly, to get into your own flow. You don't have to connect with others if you don't want to, but they are there if you do. A third place that is not business first, that is secular, diverse. What would that look like? I feel like the seeds are here already in this community.
And you've got a... This has morphed from just being an online event and then in-person events to you have a physical space now. Yes. Here in Singapore.
Yes.
Where people can come, and is it super structured, or is it just a place to hang out, like this third place to just be?
The contributors to the crowdfunding, I say, okay, you can come here and co-work. Mm-hmm. You can come here and hang out. Depending on the tier of contribution, you can also like book the space for events. So that's very sort of transactional in a sense. But what I'm trying to create here is the opportunities for spontaneous connection, for like the spillover from one event to lead to another event, or like people who are just like working or hanging around and they see an event happening and okay, just come, you know? And as a result, that sort of serendipity just sort of is orchestrated, you know, but it just happens.
Mm.
Yeah. So this is literally still like version one or even the beta of what I think the third place could look like.
And you mentioned this is a shop house. Is it a shop house?
Yes, yes. So it's,
a shop house like property. Mm-hmm. That you guys are sharing with another company.
Yeah.
And you said you crowdfunded it.
Yes.
So because for people not based in Singapore, Singapore property is super expensive. Yeah. I mean, getting property here is yeah. very, it takes a lot of resources.
Yeah.
So you were actually able to crowdfund this from the community itself.
Yeah, yeah. Let me take you through how we made it happen. We had this festival of events in September last year called the Stranger Gathering. It was actually many gatherings, right, over the month of September. It started out as three events per week that I would host. And it grew into like 31 events in 29 days. So that's more than an event a day. And the reason that was we were able to make that happen is because we supported the participants of this festival to also host, make happen their own experiences and events as well.
Okay.
So that was our first experiment in creating, like really sort of trying to create a core of the community by getting people to sort of come back over and over again repeatedly.
Right, right.
Right. Many folks were exhausted by the end. But that was when the trust, I guess, you know, trust is a big word. I guess people just sort of saw what this whole thing could be beyond just another events platform.
Yeah.
Right. And many of these folks went on to become the core contributors of our crowdfunding, right? Literally at the end of this festival, we had a dinner and I said, hey guys, what do you think if we had a space of our own, you know?
Yeah.
Like, because we've had so many events and almost every time we have to like shift, look for a new space, and then it's cost like, I don't know, $200, $300 a night. And I'm like, okay, is this a good use of our money and our effort, right? And so we looked around, you know, various spaces, and the one that stood out to us was this one. It's a pretty nice shop house, right? You know, it's along Geylang Road, the less interesting end of it, you know, next to Paya Lebar MRT, which is great for accessibility. And there was already a tech company in that space who wanted to share the space with someone else as a way of, like, you know, reducing their rent. And at the same time, you know, because we didn't want to be locked in into something that was like 2 years, for example,
right?
So we were looking for places like this precisely, you know, with the flexibility that was also already done up. So we could just like move in without doing much, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's pretty nice, you know. It's got like a high ceilings, you know. It's kind of long and narrow, which like all shop houses are.
Yeah.
So we had to be a bit creative with doing the layouts for, let's say, a film screening. I think having a space gives it this additional sense of, oh, it's real. You know, like, oh, there is a community here.
Yeah.
You know, there are people here, right? You can drop by and then, yeah, at any given day, there'll be like, you know, people hanging out or like, you know, doing work or whatever. Yeah. Like once you have a space, you know, your imagination starts to get sort of fired up. It's like, oh, what could we do with this space? You know what I'm saying? So like, you can have ideas of what to do in the space before you get it, and that's why you get the space. But after you get the space, there's also a knock-on effect on your imagination. We had an improv performance.
Nice.
You know, in that space. You know, someone almost did a cabaret. You know, and I think we should have like a, get a bartender in and turn into a speakeasy or something.
It's lovely to hear about your journey, because you're just, you just start something and then whether it's serendipity or opportunity or the universe is just wanting to endorse what you're doing, but kind of the opportunities start coming, the collaborators start coming, people start showing up again and again and again. And I get the sense from you that you are kind of on it, still on a journey to see where it's going to go.
Yeah.
And I mean, if you had say unlimited resources, what do you think Stranger Conversations would be? Or would you not want to have unlimited resources? Would that kind of be against your ethos of how you're growing this?
I don't think we need the money or resources at this point. Well, you could say that, okay, if I had unlimited money, then I could hire the best people. But what does that mean? You know, like we are here to take people on a journey. And it's best if whoever signs up to like really help put in effort, build this, is also on a journey. And that journey fits with the journey of this community and where we are at this moment. We don't need to have like the world's foremost experts on this and that. So there was this chap, he came for one of our open houses.
Mm-hmm.
It was pretty full upstairs at the shop house. So he was hungry. So he went down with like five other ladies for dinner.
Mm-hmm.
And at that moment, he was like shocked at how open and deep the conversations were amongst those five strangers, that he wondered to himself, why can't men have the same sort of sharing, you know? Like within the week, he sort of messaged me. I was like, hey, Jinshan, like I want to do a men's circle.
Very nice.
Yeah. So we talked more. And he was like, yeah, but I don't know if, you know, I can do it. You know, I'm the right guy to do it. And I told him, like, well, there are only two qualifications, right? One is you want to do it. And number two, you're a man. So do it. And I think his story then becomes part of the experience.
Yeah.
Right. So as opposed to like, let's say we hired a professional facilitator to come down and facilitate the men's circle, right? Which I don't think would have that same effect or that same authenticity to it. It would be nice to have some money, I guess, you know, so that, you know, maybe volunteers could get an allowance or something like that. You know, but it's not the main thing, I think. Yeah. If we had a lot of money, could we like, oh, we could buy a space. But you know, like I want people to feel a sense of ownership over this. And every step of the way, it's an experiment, right? And you want to see whether whatever you're putting in place makes sense to people. If it makes sense, then they would happily support this, you know? And if it makes sense, there'll be enough of these folks who will happily support this anyway.
Yeah.
Right? It's not like we're, I don't know, drilling for oil or something, you know, where we actually need like a high capital outlay at the start. I'm not working, so I'm just like drawing down on my own savings.
Mm-hmm.
Question is, how much do I need to live? You know, I mean, to have a comfortable enough sort of life.
Singapore is not cheap.
It's not cheap.
Yeah.
It's not cheap, you know, and I guess some of the biggest expenditure is my my son's preschool.
Yeah. Super expensive. I feel that pain. Yeah.
Yeah. So I guess there may be some sort of time limit on how long this experiment runs.
Yeah.
You know, but I'm not feeling the pressure to just give up because of financial reasons just yet.
Yeah.
I mean, it's an interesting question, right? Like, can money buy everything?
Right. Yeah. Or can it ruin everything as well?
Yeah, it could. Mm. It could, right? Like, there were people whom I had never even spoken to or even like shown up at an event before who just chipped in for the crowdfunder.
That's crazy.
Why? It's crazy. It's crazy.
Yeah.
You know? So there are people like this out there, right? And there is something in this, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's up to me to keep refining, right, the concept, right? If I had like a $10 million, then I wouldn't need to refine the concept of just, okay, whatever Jinshan wants, Jinshan gets, right?
Yeah.
And then it might just be sort of off the mark in some ways. Yeah.
Yeah. So I love the full circleness of this kind of conversation, because you started off organizing stranger conversations, meetings, because you were intrigued by people with unconventional lives, but now you're kind of living one, Jinshan. So What would you advise to, I mean, it sounds like lots of people are already taking part and participating. But if someone was kind of coming to you and saying, you know, I'm looking for meaning in my own life. And would you tell them to follow their curiosity, their talent, their passion? Like, what would your advice be?
You see, like, curiosity, talent, and passion. I can only speak from my own experience of the culture around here. They do feel like big words. Like, oh, I have to figure out, you know, what my passion is or what my curiosity is or what I'm like really good at, right? Because it does feel like it's a high stakes move, right? And so you really want to get it right. Okay, I'm curious about this, but maybe not enough, you know? I'm talented, but maybe not enough, you know what I'm saying? And people will get stuck. I've seen so often people get stuck in their heads. I would say make something happen. It doesn't have to be something you're like super duper curious about or something that you're super duper passionate in or something that you're really talented in, right? Like, imagine if we told this chap, you know, like, before you start in the men's circle, make sure that you're really curious in it, or this is really your passion, or this is your talent.
Right.
He hadn't facilitated anything before. The path, the journey is filled with little moments of courage and little moments of growth. Right? Savor them, act on them, and don't give up too soon.
Thank you so much. I love that conclusion to our conversation, Jinchon. Thank you so much.
You're welcome, Erica. It's a pleasure.
If you enjoy this episode, don't forget to subscribe.